let the drummer kick, the drummer kick die. Let the drummer kick, let the drummer kick die. Let the drummer kick, let the drummer kick die. Let the drummer kick, let the drummer kick die. Let the drummer kick, 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 let the drummer kick die.
It's the Big Three Rollout. It's your favorite Uncle Silk.
It's Kev.
Newberg.
How y'all feeling, baby?
I'm feeling good, dog. Feeling undefeated, bro. How you feeling, Berg?
Like I picked the wrong year to start a podcast.
Well, what's Jimbo saying, bro? What does Jimbo want you to say, dog? What's the public service announcement he sent you on here with?
I have my own mind. I can speak my own.
Yeah, but what's the company letterhead say?
Oh, it was, I mean, hey, we're fighting with fans and shit. It's getting weird.
Was that TJ?
It had to be TJ. It had to be TJ. Because who else would have been there at the end of the game?
About BTJ ass.
Hmm?
It was him and Dewey.
You know it was.
So we got Mac and we got Mac faking death threats and we got Jim Bob squaring up with fans, dog. What the fuck going on, bro?
Well, I think it always gets weird before the end. You know what I mean? Like every coach has that moment before the end of his tenure where you're like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, but Jimbo's shit ain't the end, is it?
No, that wasn't – I don't think that was – I mean, that was a little bit out of character, but he didn't really – he just said – come down here and say that to my face. He should have just let it go.
That's a square up where I'm from.
Right, that's a square up. Whatever. I'm okay with that.
You okay with that?
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. I'm more okay with Jimbo doing what he did than Mac doing what he did.
Both of them hoes, man. Like, you can't try them.
Well, I think it just shows the frustration that Jimbo, you know, Jimbo can say what he wants in these press conferences, but he's feeling it, man. He is feeling it. Mac, on the other hand, Mac isn't built for this.
I agree.
Every time he faces adversity or a loss, like every time they lose, he starts talking about perspective and protecting his players and their feelings and this and that, and it's like, man, just take that L, move on, and go win. And here we go again. They come off a loss to Texas A&M, and he says something about death threats. And again, it puts him in the position he likes to be in.
Ask him about the last game though. They was asking him about the Georgia matchup and should the players like feel okay about their performance or some shit.
I mean, the man almost down cried. He got photographed on a shark. Like, just take the L and move on.
Oh, that's him. Now I know it's him.
It is him.
At first, I didn't think it was him. Now I know it's him.
Mm-hmm.
That shit's got to be him. But Jimbo, he goes to these press conferences and talk about, oh, support the players. They play their hearts out. Dog, they're supporting the players. They said they want to fire all the coaches.
I agree with you, Kev. Sorry, I'm drinking some water here. I agree with you. And from a coach that always says you got to eliminate the noise, he always says that shit. You got to eliminate the noise. You know, you got to stay focused on things you can control, blah, blah, blah. For him to get wrapped up in one heckler saying you need – and the heckler wasn't even criticizing his players. I can see if you're Jimbo Fisher.
Jimbo benefited from down Florida, down Miami, dog. Jimbo
mother
trash,
effing your players and you go to bat for him and you – but if you say you need to replace your coaches – those are grown-ass men that are getting paid hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. And if they're not doing their job right, the consumer has a right to say, hey, y'all need to replace you. And the guy was an idiot, the fan, but he wasn't outlandish. He wasn't saying anything.
He's being a fan. That's fan shit. Right. He did his job.
That was the definition of Jimbo Fisher not ignoring the noise and getting caught up.
Jimbo's his cheeks, bro. He benefited from a down Florida and a down Miami, and that jig is you see it.
Still won a national championship.
Yeah, he benefited, but that shit over with, dog. Jig up, bro. He can't coach. Yeah,
everything's cyclical in college football. So,
so who y'all next coach?
Nothing's forever.
Who you hiring?
Rich Rod.
That's a terrible hire.
Don't at me.
That's a good hire.
Now, me and the Florida State fans have a...
I'll take it. I'd take Florida State hiring Rich Rod.
I definitely would, too.
Now, Florida State's not changing their coach. There's no chance of that happening. None.
So what we got going on this week? What we got going on this week? Who does Florida State play this week?
No, let's go back to that Syracuse game, man.
We never went to it.
I know.
All right, let's go back to it. What's up?
Kev, were you nervous again at home?
Yeah, I mean, you got to be nervous about how the offense is playing. A couple drops that would have, like, blown it up. But, yeah, I guess – but, I mean, it's really it, – the game was never really in doubt. I wasn't nervous. Fuck, we're undefeated, bro. I don't got nothing to be nervous about, bro. Were you nervous?
No, but I saw Florida State fans cheering real hard for Syracuse.
Yeah, they were. They could have done a little bit more, I think, bro, if they would have
TJ and the boys just weren't cheering hard enough.
I know. They didn't leave it all out on the field. It was the problem.
What's it feel like being in that pole position right now, Kev? 5-0.
Yeah, it feels good, man. I mean, what the fuck you want me to say?
You're not really enjoying the season, Kev. I feel like you're so nervous that you're not really enjoying the season.
How am I nervous, man? We got North Carolina this week, Florida State, Florida. Y'all going to cheer hard as fuck. It's just going to be a blowout. I ain't nervous about nothing.
UNC this weekend, trap game.
Trap game. That could be a trap game.
I'm just saying it right here on the big three roll-up.
Yeah, trap game. North Carolina is fucking terrible, though.
They really are. They really are. All right. So, yeah. Next up for Florida State, they play under the Friday Night Lights at Boston College.
That's y'all are really some scrub-ass niggas, dog.
That's hell.
Y'all some bums playing on Friday night with a 2-4 record.
Hey, when you're 2-4, you're just glad you're not playing on a Tuesday.
Yeah, but is that an L? Like, Boston College has been playing them tough lately.
It's a win, Kev. It's a win.
Where's it at?
Boston.
Yeah, that's an L. I'd call it. It's just an L.
Mark it.
Who else we got? We put Jimbo and we put Mac on the hot seat. Who else on the hot seat around the country?
Butch, for sure.
Butch is
done. We know he fired, he's, dog. He's no hot seat. Yeah, done.
Jim Moore Jr.
At UCLA, yeah.
I think he's on the hot seat.
Is someone still on the hot seat?
Nah.
I don't know. I think so. I think they're looking for any excuse to get rid of. What'd you say,
I don't think so, bro. There's too many. There's going to be too many jobs out there to compete with this summer.
Is Ed Orgeron on the hot seat?
Nope.
Are they?
Nah, not anymore. No, not anymore. Not realistically. I mean, you got to think. He's on the first year of a 4-year contract. The buyout's going to be too large. He's really not on the hot seat. I mean,
what if Jimbo becomes available? Do they pay the buyout?
Who?
The LSU to get Jimbo.
What do you mean?
Have you seen Jimbo? Oh, he is Orgeron right now. Fuck, they're going to fire Orgeron and hire baby
Jimbo
Orgeron.
Has a $40 million buyout.
$40
million? Yeah, it's like 39 point something million dollars.
Jesus. Nobody want to buy that shit out anyway.
Nobody's buying that out. He's not going anywhere.
Incredible.
Who do you got on the hot seat? Who else is on the hot seat?
I just got Mac on that bitch, bro.
You're only focused on one?
Yeah, I'm trying to focus on myself.
Who do you want?
Who I want to hire? I put number one on my list, Big Bob. Break Stoops. The bank. Yeah, get Big Bob, come to back down here.
Where's Charles Strong on your list? What number?
Around about like off it.
He's out of your top five?
Yeah, definitely. It's a no, dog.
About Scott Frost?
I want to do it for the culture, but it's a no, dog. Like, I can't be mixing football and the culture shit. You know what I'm saying? I got Frost at 3. I got Bob Stoops 1. I got Fuente 2. I got Frost 3.
about Dino Babers? Is he on there at all?
Nah, not. I mean, I'm trying to do shit for the culture, though.
I got a question. So,
what has Dino Babers done, bro?
Like, I don't know, bro. But have you seen his hairline?
He almost beat Miami. If CJ would,
I had a good little bit tweet harder about that hairline. I had a tweet about that hairline. And I couldn't. It painted on, nigga.
Really?
Yeah. You think LeBron hair just fucking falls out every night? Every game?
No, it didn't really look like LeBron. It looked like
honestly, it only falls out on like Tuesday nights at Utah. They don't fly on ESPN, bro. She's clean as fuck.
Like, it looked like somebody stenciled it on with a Sharpie.
That is what they did, dog, pretty much.
Dog. Wow.
It wasn't a Sharpie, but it was something similar.
Hey, Silk, you should go as Dino Babers for Halloween.
Fuck you, bro. That's racist, too. It's got to be racist.
Well, yeah.
Nothing like Dino Babers, bro.
So who's your Heisman winner right now?
Derrick Saquon James.
Saquon Barkley, dog.
Yeah, Saquon.
I got Derrick.
Stop, man. Stop. We're not here.
Do you think Derrick gets an invite?
We are not
here. Hell no, he ain't get no fucking
We are not here for those jokes tonight. No, we're not.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I think it's Saquon.
What could Derrick have done last week for y'all to get that W?
Quentin Flowers should be in the mix, too.
Nah, if he was at a real program, he would be in the mix. But unfortunately, he's at USF.
It'll be like
baby.
Playing Liberty, playing TJ school every week.
You guys see my bullhorns I got on right now? I'm ready for Saturday.
Who gets invited? Four people? So I say Saquon, Mayfield. They got to invite Lamar Jackson back. And then
– I don't think – you think it's over with? You think it's said and done?
No, I don't think it's over with, but I think he's leaving right now.
Who could challenge him for the Heisman really right now?
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. I'm fucking balling right now.
Yeah, I just think they've all been up and down. Play. Like, I don't think Saquon's really a runaway any other year but this year.
But one thing we know about Baker Mayfield, he's just heating up, bro.
That is true. 5-16
He tells us that shit. Yeah, he's just heating up, bro. That shit could get real fast.
That's true. It's true. You guys want to get our first guest on?
Let's get the South Florida fucking radio goat, bro.
We're not going to do him first. We're going to – oh, wait.
Paul,
yeah,
we're not doing nobody.
Yeah, we're gonna going to get Channing on actually first. Sorry,
pause. All that shit.
All right, next up, Channing Crowder.
All right, first guest on the show, Big Three GOAT, Gator GOAT, one of the best linebackers to ever play at the University of Florida. Number one goon, definitely. Got some dope goon stories from my man, Channing Crowder. Channing, how you doing, man?
What's going on, man? Ain't nothing to watch this damn Heat Spurs right now and shit. Hollering at y'all.
Doing that shit for work?
Yeah, man, I got to follow everything. Panthers, Heat. The hurricane, man. I know all the damn hurricane players because we the flagship over there at my job. So,
sorry,
you know, I'm chasing checks. Yeah, I'm chasing checks too, bro. So I had to get that money. I'll talk about cricket. If they pay me to talk about cricket, I'll watch the damn people hit that little ball with that little flat ass.
That's what's up. So you been following the Florida program lately?
Oh, yeah, man. It's the only thing I'm emotionally attached to. Like, I follow the Dolphins, you know what I'm saying? I'm a Dolphin fan, a Buccaneers fan, whatever, growing up. But the only people, you know, only emotion I get from sports is from the Gators. Like, Treon Harris was the first kid I wanted to fight, and that's when I knew something was wrong with me. So, yeah, the Gators is the only thing I follow when I argue and see, cuss people out about is the Gators. So, yeah, I follow the team, bro.
So how you feeling about the state of the team, the program? How you feel about the coach and everything, the state of the program?
Man, the program, it ain't where it's supposed to be, bro. When I was there, I like you just went out there knowing like this the Gators, like y'all know y'all ain't supposed to be out here with us. Yeah, y'all know y'all ain't supposed to be in the swamp. Y'all should know better. I even remember going, I played for the Gators, that's right after, you know, Spurrier left, but we still had that Lord. Bro, people were asking me to sign autographs before the game on the other team. Dudes from South Carolina and Kentucky were coming up to me like, bro, Crowder, man, you know, can you sign something after the game? Like it was like that. And now I don't think it's there. You know what I'm saying? And it's just the defense okay. They ain't where they've been in the past, but the offense don't help them out, man. It's embarrassing the offense come out there and score 17 and 19 points. be 10 points at halftime, 13 points. I think they averaged 11 points in the first half this entire season. Man, that's not Gator football, man. What Spurrier did, what Werfel did back in the day, what Tebow and them boys did.
Light it up.
Why I went to Florida, bro, you light it up, man. You always had the defense, man. It's DBU and all that. But, yeah, man, it's just not what Florida's supposed to be. What's the boy named Nussmeier, the offensive coordinator? They ain't doing nothing. And you guys, you can look at it. You can look at it with Callaway and my boy Scarlett. They out because them, I don't know where them boys started stealing credit cards. We just used to whoop people's ass. That's all we did when I was before. Them boys out here stealing credit cards. I don't know what's going on with them. But but the funny thing is, like early on with like Michigan game, when the offense wasn't doing nothing, the defense scored more points than the offense. Like you can understand it. Well, okay, it's a transition, bro.
Yeah.
We 3-3. We a month and a half into the season. Damn, that man got to figure out how to put some points on the board. 19-17 in back-to-back weeks versus Texas A&M and LSU. Man, it's really embarrassing that the offense of Florida is looking like that. We always going to bite on defense, but that offense got to tighten up. And if they fire McElwain, Nussmeier, they fire all the offensive staff, I don't care because, I done seen enough out of McElwain.
Check this out. Now, you've experienced this whole dynamic of a coach on the hot seat. You had Zook. And I think we all agree that Mac's on the hot seat right now. What's that dynamic like? What are those players going through right now?
It's cool, man. I ain't really been up there to see how the players react to him because I know when they fired Zook with four games left and let Charlie Strong take over in 04, one of the reasons I went to the league was because Zook was my dude. And then when Irby came in, I got locked up twice, got arrested four times. So Irby came in with that dictator stuff, which kind of made me – was the reason why I decided to leave as a sophomore. But, like, when Zook left, man, Jeremy Foley walked into the team room after we lost to – and this is the downfall. I don't know if you remember. We lost to Sylvester Croom in Mississippi State.
Uh-huh.
And the little boy that went to Atlanta and did a little thing in Jarius Norwood, whatever the boy's name. He went out and went crazy on us. And we lost to Mississippi State at Mississippi State to Sylvester Croom. And then that next week they came in and Jeremy Foley set us down. And he's like, yeah, you know, we're doing what's best for y'all. You know, doing what's best for the team. We're going to better y'all. And in the long run, see, Irby came in. And that's what did with Tebow. Brought Tebow and brought the two championships. But from a player perspective, bro, Zook to a fault was a player's coach. So to answer your question, like when they fired Zook, I stood up in the meeting and was like, hey, man, this ain't best for me. I mess with Ron. So then Jeremy Foley's like, well, okay. And then when I'm standing up, then see after Faison get up, Deshaun, you know, the big old fat running back, forgot his name, Deshaun Wynn.
And then
a couple other dudes get up, and we like, the hell with that. Now, I don't know a lot of people know that story. We walked out to meet. We like, man, the hell with y'all. You know what I'm saying? We fools up. I don't know if McElwain's that dude. Because remember, this is what made me doubt McElwain. The time he snapped on Kelvin Taylor for dancing in the end zone and got the 15-yard penalty.
Doing the cutthroat.
Yeah, the cutthroat. So he snapped on Kelvin Taylor and make him look like a little boy. And then he come back and try to be the nicest guy in the world, man. McElwain trying to figure it out. So I don't know how the players feel about him. Like, Zook was there ride or die with you. I used to go over to Zook's house on Sundays and watch football games and swim with his daughters. He has some big-ass gray dogs I used to play with in the yard. Like, Zook was a player's coach. I don't know if McElwain's that guy. The players know that this offense is terrible. That's one thing people don't take into account. Man, these boys are all Americans in high school. You know what a good offense looks like. They know that this offense is not doing nothing. So if McElwain, he's not like a Zook player coach, and he's still not succeeding, I don't know if the players care if they let him go. But he got to be on the hot seat because that's one thing I love about Florida, boy. It is that loyalty, and we love you to death, and you're there for us. Oh, you do so much charity work and all that. Boy, you got to win. If you ain't winning games, they can get rid of your ass. And I love that about Florida.
Preach.
Do your damn job.
Get your ass up out of here.
That's what the league is. When I got the league at Florida, I said, that's how I want every organization run. Do your job, even the damn Wendy's. Boy, if I own the Wendy's, if you burn the fucking Nuggets one time,
Hey, Channing.
One more, Kev. Channing, think McElwain was telling the truth about the death threats?
No, man, it's the funny thing now, man, what people do with this damn Twitter and MySpace and Facebook and all this stuff is that one little crazy dude in the basement, you know, texting behind an egg, and they will act like this is a person threatening their life. But I've felt my life threatened a couple times, and that's when I see a grown-ass man with me looking me in my eyes, and he don't like me. And once social media started, All that is nothing, bro. These are people hiding behind keyboards. I got my radio show every day and somebody talking trash on the other side. I tell them every time, bro. I done texted them 100 times. Every time somebody say, oh, I'll beat your ass, I say, meet me on the corner of Griffin and Flamingo, Walmart. And every time they say something about fighting, I say, Flamingo and Griffin, Walmart, give me the time. I'll be there, and we can do whatever we want. Don't call no police. We're going to handle this like men. We're going to go home and go to bed. I have never had a damn person come up there and meet me at the Walmart.
Hey, so that's a perfect transition, man. Can you tell the story? I heard you tell on the Joe Rose show one time about when you hosted Willie Williams at Florida.
Man, it was – at Florida, the funny thing about going to Florida, man, when you get there – and I didn't know, you don't know when you're there, you know what I'm saying? The saying that you can't see the forest through the trees because you're too close to it. Like, bro, it was monsters. It was monsters coming in there every week. Like, I remember choking out Ernie Sims when he came up there. He talking about he going to come on there. We over there with little chicks in front of 95. He talking about, yeah, they bringing me in to play middle linebacker. This is after my All-American rookie freshman year. And I said, you playing middle linebacker for what team? The Gators. I said, bro. You ain't playing middle linebacker for no damn Gators. He went to jumping off at the mouth. I had to grab, choke him out on the wall. But and then Willie came in, and Willie was like, it was at a point where they kind of, after I got arrested a couple times, and they kind of knew, you know, that my whole goal was to play football and chase women around. They kind of stopped giving me recruits unless they was that guy. They was that dog. So Willie Williams, and I knew Willie, man. Willie was known. Willie was damn near like a college player. When he was in high school, Willie was one. I saw Willie's highlight. I'll be honest with you. Willie's highlight reel was the second most impressive highlight reel I watched from any linebacker behind LeVar Arrington in high school. If you want to see a damn highlight reel, watch LeVar Arrington's highlight reel in high school. The dude was a monster, and Willie was a close 1B. He was right there behind him. But Willie comes up. Just a silly dude, bro. He's just a silly kid smiling all the time. I'm thinking he's going to be, you know, butthole a little bit. And the dude was cool. He come up, yeah, man, big love for your crowd. You know what I'm saying? You do your thing. So he's showing me love. So we cool. We go back to the house. And this is the part, you know, well, now as a 34-year-old man, I can see that we messed up. There was a thing that we had to call the crowd a cocktail, where we take a Heineken, we drink half the beer, we put a shot of vodka, a shot of tequila, and a shot of Hennessy into the beer bottle. So you get a half a Heineken, and you get three shots, two white. And one dart. Bro, I know as a grown man now that's a dumbass decision, but I was 19, 20. That seemed like a good plan. So what you do usually, bro, you bring the recruits in, you give them the crowd a cocktail, you drink one or two of them, they, you know, they zoot it, you take them out, they sit at the bar, stay at the ground for a little while, you send a little girl to them, they talk and smile at a woman that's the baddest woman they ever seen in their life, and then you take them back to their hotel, and they wake up the next morning talking about, bro, man, we had a good time. Yeah, bro, I'll watch out for you. Willie wasn't built like them dudes. We gave Willie one, we gave Willie two. Willie chilled out. Willie sitting on my couch. We had a little party over there at Hawaiian Village down there by the public. Look, girls, and they're going to say, Willie having a good time. This is a regular dude. So I'm through the night. I'm saying, I'm like, man, they're giving the dude a bad rap, man. Because I had a bad rap, too. Because this is after, you know, this is after I got locked up a couple times. So I'm like, man, they just gave this dude a bad rap. So, bro, we go to the Blue Flame, I believe it was called, right outside. It was outside of looking like the campus or whatever, out in the Lester. Man, we go out there. We get there. We cool. We sit at the bar. I'm kind of behind Willie, but that's my downfall, bro. I'm chasing girls around. That's what I did. I can't sit with no dude for no 3-4 hours. I got to chase the girl. So I go and start working the room, working the bar, whatever. Da, da, da. Next thing I know, Willie done stood up. I guess he done shook off that Hennessy and shook off that Patron a little bit, shook off that vodka. He kind of, now he, you know what I'm saying, now he, you can see him kind of focusing up. So I'm like, bro, you good? First thing he said, like, I go to the bathroom. So I'm walking, bro, you know how you walk through the club, you kind of turn sideways to get through, and I ain't holding this dude's hand. This is a grown-ass man, so I'm kind of walking through the club. I'm thinking he behind me. And then I heard, ooh. I said, oh, hey, I look back. He done knocked the dude out. Bam! So I done grabbed him. I done drug him into the bathroom. I'm like, okay, the security running there, crowd. Man, what's going on? I said, bro, nah, this is my cousin, man. We good. Don't worry about it. So we done defused that first situation. We went back, set at the bar. I set him down. I said, Willie, man, got him a drink. I said, Willie, chill out, bro. Like, that's not what we do, man. You see what I'm doing? Here is Tiffany. Talk to Tiffany. Talk to Isabella. Talk to somebody that's not your sex. Don't go hitting no dude. He was good for the rest of the night. It was one incident. I know it sounds crazy, but that, you know, that's normal in college. Knock a dude out. Go on, keep drinking. So we get out in the parking lot, the let out. We get the let out, and this is when you can capitalize. I don't know if they're listening to that. But the let out, we can capitalize. Ain't nobody going home with you at 9:30 at night. At 2:30, 1:45 to 2:30, that's when you get the action. Action starts at 1:45.
Right there in the parking lot.
In the parking lot. So we're in the parking lot. The DJ, he was a flawed dude. I knew him, too, is the bad thing. I think his name was Ray. I knew him. He had a big old chain on, and he had a nice little watch. Now, he was an older dude. He was probably mid-30s. He was probably my age, hanging out in Gainesville. So he was flodgy. So I'm over on the car, and I'm on probation at the time because I already got locked up twice, and I was on probation right then. So really leaning against the truck, and I done walked off the truck, same old thing, running around after these girls. And I hear the same damn noise. And when I heard it, I knew what it was. Ooh. I look over. The DJ done walked out the club, and he trying to get the let out. I don't know what got Willie off that truck, but Willie fired off on him. Wow! That's a dead sleep. Boom. He hit the ground. And this is where it rubbed. And I kind of was like, damn. Then he took his chain and his watch, and I'm like, damn, I don't know. I'm a dude that fought in middle school, high school. I used to fight people. When I was in Dolphins, me and Randy McMichael from Georgia, we fought at 3:00, and we went out to have beers at 7:00 and went to Coco's and saw something shake. So I'm a dude that just likes to fight. But I'm like, dude, this dude is crazy. Why are you taking the damn watch with him? So he went over there and knocked the dude out. And when I saw him take the watch and the chain, I'm on probation. So I ran to the street and started hitchhiking. So I'm like, I can't be here when the police get here. I'm on paper. So I run to the street. It was a gymnast. I don't forgot her name. All the gymnasts called them sharks. They was all a little promiscuous. I ran out to the street, bro. It was God sent me one of them damn gymnasts in Florida, Florida swimmers. Sorry. I waved down. They pulled over. I said, hey. She said, when you coming? I said, you going to campus? She said, yeah. I dove in the back seat and hit it.
God sent you that.
I get home. I go to bed. I go to my house, go to bed. I'm good. Next thing I know, Ron's up calling me about 7 a.m. My phone blowing up. I'm like, man, I ain't picking up this phone. I'm still a little tipsy. I'm like, I ain't picking up the phone. He called me about 12 calls, and I pick up. What the hell did you do to Willie? I said, because I opened on the Willie. What are you doing? He said, over there setting on fire extinguishers. I say, setting on fire extinguishers? I don't know how we got back to the hotel. I think the twins, Jermaine and something named McCullum, they from down here in Southridge. They from Miami and Southridge. I believe, because they my 8 bull coons. They were the best men at my wedding and all. They my guys. So I think they got him home. I found out afterwards they got him home. But when he went to the hotel, it was him and another safety from whatever high school he went. Was it Central? Where Willie went down here?
Carroll City.
It was another safety that was the first Division I guy, too. And he came up, and he was like a Bible thumper. He was real straight-edged and cussing nuts. So I guess Willie got back, and he was tore up a little bit. And this dumb-dumb gets the fire extinguisher, knocks on the dude's door, his high school teammate, knocks on the dude's door and sprays the dude in the face with the fire extinguisher when he opens the door. This is the dumb thing, though. And I'm like, so I'm trying to do
it. Something dumber than that?
I'm on papers, bro. So I'm trying to figure out, like, exactly what did he do? They said, I don't know if anybody really, like, the fire extinguishers in the movies and the stuff that, people spray before they come out the tunnel, that's not a save life fire extinguisher. The Save Life fire extinguisher got this little yellow powder in it that burns and it stinks real bad. He done sprayed it so much in the hallway that the whole hallway got dusted with this yellow powder. The reason they knew he did it was they followed his footsteps from the door where they sprayed it back to his room door going in the damn powder. And then they go into the dum-dum's room and the fire extinguisher is in the tub. So he's sleeping, powder everywhere, fire extinguisher in the tub. And then the whole hallway is full of yellow powder. And then they talking about felony charges, this and that. And that's why I told him, look, why would I mess with that? I said, coach, I'm on papers. I couldn't be there anyway. I'm sorry. Then to give me a dude like that. Y'all can't give me no guy like that. You give me a guy that's a virgin. If a guy's not a virgin, don't give him to me because you know what I'm going to do. So, yeah, he was the last time I hosted a dude. Because they gave me a dude that was too much like me, and we couldn't deal with each other. We went crazy.
Right. Channing, this is Josh Newberg. When we hate to see wasted talent. Willie Williams had a ton of talent. That's why people put up with his bullshit. But he didn't make it, and it was wasted. You made a lot of mistakes along your journey, but you somehow stayed with it. You made it to the NFL. You made a whole career out of it, and you were successful. How did you not end up going down the Willie Williams path? Like, what was the difference between you and him?
It's funny thing too, and I know y'all got kids. One of y'all said it was that Unc Silk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, he always posting the pictures of his wife and his best friend and all that, messes up all the regular dudes out there. So
Were you ghost following Crowder?
This is my best friend.
Hey, Crowder.
That's only when he leaves the laptop open, dog.
Yeah. Hey, Crowder. Funny story, Crowder. I had to sit and watch these foo-foo-ass shows, man. I had told my wife, I was like, man, that's a big-time Gator dude right there. I'm going to get him on the show one day. It's a true story, dog. This was like this summer, man. We watching the episode where you straightened out Nico.
What are you talking about?
He's on NFL Wives or some shit like that. My wife watched it.
Shit.
Ball of Wives, yeah.
You got a celebrity on the show. Okay.
Yeah, he out here, bro.
I ain't no celebrity. They don't like me because they don't like real, saying the real dudes. Yeah. They ain't a fan of that shit. They want all the motherfuckers that want to argue about dumb stuff. But, yeah, man, that's the thing. They put me on them shows, bro. It's the funniest thing in the world. But
hey, you had Grimes nervous one episode.
Oh, listen here. That was people talking about. They teased it. They teased that part when we was all folks sitting there. They were like, people started tweeting me and my homeboy calling me. I got a bunch of calls talking about, bro, man, yeah, you can't punk that lady in front of her husband. I say, listen,
hey,
I have never been in a room where I have been physically scared. I've been scared to get arrested. I've been, scared to get in trouble or scared for my wife to slap me. But you talking about getting an ass whooping? It ain't many people out there just slap out with my ass. You got to bring your lunch pail. I'm serious. They don't, you can jump me, you can jump me. But one grown man, it's a long day to whoop my ass just slap out and the hell out of me. So that's why I'm not really scared, scared to say or scared to do anything. But, hey, what the hell was I talking about?
I want to know why you didn't end up being Willie Williams. But
this is the thing, too. And I say this to you, bro.
Kenny, I was going to ask you about the Dolphins, but nobody really gives a fuck about that, to be honest.
It's cool, man. I got time. I give y'all the time. But the whole thing, why I'm not Willie Williams, this is real shit. I told people this shit. I told people. Their kids going to college. I talked to dudes that's all Americans already that got in a little trouble, like different guys, so I don't want to name drop. It's three goddamn things you got to do in college. You got to ball, you got to keep your grades up, and you got to stay out of trouble. You got to have two of them. You can't fuck up two of the three. You got to fuck up one of the three. So what happened was I was an All-American, and I had a 3.7 at Florida. So I got arrested all them time, but I fucked up one of the three. Willie, they had no good grades. Willie wasn't out there balling on the field, and Willie was getting locked up. Willie messed up three of the three. If you get two of the three, you will make it in football. I know why I say don't tell no kids this, because it's a terrible thing for, 16, 17-year-old to hear. Grades, stay out of trouble, or ball on the field. You got to have two of the three. I had the two that mattered, grades and on the field, and I got locked up, but they'll deal with you with that. But that's the reason for a real talk. You got to have two of the three.
Yeah, but it's a sliding scale on talent. Like, if your talent is through the roof, like, you're going to be able to give a little bit more on the grades and on the off-the-field stuff,
Yeah. No, it's a sliding scale, but it's a certain way you have to deal with it. And that's the thing about me, like, the intelligence side. Like I was saying with my GPA and stuff, like, I knew how to figure out the system. So when I saw the system, or when I saw, like, hey – Ron Zook would be hot with me. Jeremy Foley would be hot with me. But Charlie Strong would still fool with me. Like, Charlie Strong would still bring me in his office and laugh and BS about, saying some girl I'm messing with or something. So I was like, okay, I'm not that bad off. Once Charlie Strong started getting upset with me, I was like, okay, Chuck's mad with me. I need to tighten up. Like, the intelligence to know how far you can push the envelope. It's like a relationship. A scholarship's like a relationship. You can push – this woman A so far, and you can push woman B so far, woman C so far, whatever it is. But once you see that threshold's about to get hit, you got to pull back. I don't know if Willie recognized thresholds and knew when he was going too far. But, yeah, man, I knew it was a point where I didn't go out no more, where I chilled. I stopped drinking and stuff. I was like, man, let me just chill out because these folks getting tired of me acting crazy in Gainesville. And then I got, you know, got All-American again, the second SEC, and I was like, yeah, I can do what I want now. But, yeah, it's a threshold where you have to understand that.
So, you talk to student-athletes or football players, but you should probably also just talk to regular college football students or just regular college students, because that Crowder cocktail, man, if I would have known about that when I was in college, that would have saved me a lot of money.
Oh, my
goodness. You drink one Crowder cocktail, you're ready to go.
You're good for the night, and you got the whiskey swiper, and it's already going to get you where you got get you 40 minutes in. That's what it was about. Now, yeah, you already, everybody want to take shots here, shots there, get you a Crowder cocktail. You're going to cruise through the night, and you're going to give somebody hell at the end of the night.
When the Henny kicks in.
Hey, Channing, you ever took an L in a fight?
So, this is the funniest thing too. I ask people that. They're like, yeah, they know my history. Like, yeah, you like to fight. You fight all the time. Yeah, you got triple fight. I'm like, yeah, I fought. And first thing I ask them, but I'm like, have you ever got whooped? And if they say no, honest to God, at that moment I know I could beat you up. Because if you ain't never been hitting your nose and your eyes water and your nose start to bleed and you have that feeling, if you never felt that, I guarantee I got an edge on you, because I've got hit those so many times that I had, you know, the thing where you hit them and you just swing your arms in front of you and try to see where your buddy's at. I done did that. So, yeah, if I had to guess my record, I'd say I'm probably 50-something and four, maybe, because I done took a big old boy named Jodon Jordan. Jodon Jordan in high school, we was playing putt-putt golf, and he was a little ugly little white girl with him. He was a big old white boy, and I kept hitting the ball too hard. He jumped up and hit him in the leg one time. When he hit him in the leg, he turned around, hey, stop that shit. I said, man, fuck you, go to hell. Fuck you, did it. I went to talking shit. About 3-4 more holes later, I hit the ball too hard, and that bitch jumped up and hit his girl in the back, and he went to walking back there. So I walked up on him. Man, yeah, I'm talking shit the whole time. I didn't know. At this point, I didn't know about the point of no return. The point of no return is when you get close enough to a man to touch him, so somebody got to touch each other. So I walk up on him. I'm thinking we're going to do the chest bump. Look at each other and talk shit, spit on each other's face, all that shit. Man, I walked up close and got the point of no return, hit me in my face so hard, I ran to my damn truck and hit in the back seat. all my buddies, we had girls there. We had my buddy with me. Everybody calling me. I didn't pick my phone up. I was hiding in the back seat floor because I didn't want that damn boy to hit me in my face again. That was an L. I took about 4 L's in my life, and that's how I know if you have never got an ass whooping, you ain't got a chance to fight me.
Straight up.
Man. Channing, tell the people where they can follow you on Twitter and the details of your radio show where they can listen.
It's Official Crowder on Twitter. What am I? Something on Instagram, too. I think it's Official Crowder on Instagram, too. I ain't do good on social media, man. I'm a country dude. But, down in South Florida, it's on 560 AM, 560 from 2 to 6, Monday through Friday. And then I do the Dolphin pregame 4 hours before every Dolphin game. And I also do a college, thing on Saturday before the Canes game, too. I have a little drop on the college stuff. So 7 days a week, you can catch me on 560 W2AM. And then whenever y'all boys want to have me back, man, I'll come on here and talk shit with y'all.
That's great shit. Oh, yeah. Hey, Jay, real quick, after all that shit, nobody really wants to talk about the Dolphins, but they're 4-2. How the hell are they 4-2? Like, what the fuck?
Oh, man, it's crazy. It's the defense. The defense kept a minute, bro. We the worst offense. Can't do nothing. Jay Cutler came out of retirement. They were scoring.
Smoking cigarettes and shit.
Smoking Jay. And he has no emotion, bro. But up until, I think, 2 weeks ago, we were scoring 9 points per game on offense. The defense was outscoring us, just like the damn Gators in that Michigan game, and 17, 19 points in with Texas A&M, LSU, the Sons. The defense is keeping a minute, and they winning it late. I don't know how long they can do it, but the funny thing, and it's almost like a hall pass for the fans. You know that movie Hall Pass where the women tell their husband and they can go out and get a set? Matt Moore is now playing. So the backup quarterback, because everybody hates Jay Cutler, so now Matt Moore is playing. So now they get to see against the Ravens, because everybody's talking about Matt Moore changing. They get to see against the Ravens on Thursday tomorrow night, actually, what Matt Moore can do. And if they're going to figure it out. But Adam Gase, the Dolphins last year, people don't know that they started out 1-4, they ended 2-6. So they went on a run, but 7-9, they went on a run. And that's the same thing that it seems like they're doing this year. They started out 1-3, now they're 4-2. So it's funny to say that there's a coach that's a front runner. But I think Adam Gates the front runner. I think he has to see his guys with live bullets to see what they got. The defense is fighting. I know we're playing UF, playing UGA, but that damn Rashad Jones is one of the best safeties in the NFL right now. Cam Williams, Dominican Sue, that defense is fighting. But Lawrence Timmons, we brought him in. Ray Malaluga, the fat boy from Cincinnati. Chico Alonso, but the defense, y'all watch the Dolphins, man, but the defense is fighting right now. Top 10 in everything, and that's why they're 4-2. If that defense falls off a little bit, they wouldn't be 4-2, but we get T.J. McDonald back. And this is something else that people don't know, you know, they follow the Dolphins. T.J. McDonald's going to take Nate Allen's job. Nate Allen ain't doing nothing right now. You'll never hear a game call. When T.J. McDonald comes back from the 8-game suspension, that defense might get better. But the Dolphins can make a run if they can start showing some points.
Yeah. Who defense you think better, Jags or Dolphins?
Jags, man. What did they get?
Because Calais Campbell's a fucking animal, dog, in the middle of that defense. Oh,
man, Calais Campbell, he wasn't nothing at a UM. That boy went to the Cardinals.
Arizona,
He's something else, man. Calais Campbell can ball. Then, boy, Dante Fowles now. Don't sleep on Dante now.
Team Tampa.
Jalen Ramsey, I don't know. He talks kind of funny. I'll let y'all tell me why he talks like that. But he
plays
football. Yeah,
I see like Cass. You tell me.
He got a lot of S's. He likes his S's. I don't know what's up with Ramsey, but I know that boy knows how to play football. But I take the Jaguars. I take the Jaguars. Gotta look at what they're doing, man. They dominate. See, they win a game, bro. They outscoring the offense sometimes. Blake Bortles ain't nothing. Leonard Fournette can do a little something. Chris Ivory, like the little backup. What's his name? Yeldon got him something going last week, but. They got to run the ball, but that defense is fighting. So I will pick the Jaguars defense over the Dolphins right now. But I tell you this, I brought it up. Get T.J. McDonald back. T.J. McDonald, Rashad Jones. We got Tankersley. We got Xavier Howard from Oregon. And Dominican Sue up front. You got Charles Harris on one side. You got Cam Wake on the other side. Cam Wake still balling out of his mind at 33, 34 years old.
Crazy. Dolphins defense
can bite, bro. I'm telling you, I know good defense. The Dolphins defense is biting.
Man, they might need you by the end of the season.
If fullback hit me right now, I'll blow up in the THC and beer.
Big cushion in the air.
Hey, Channy, one last thing, dog. I was listening to you one day, bro, and I almost ran my car off 95 when you said that you can't have a starting shooting forward that's addicted to Newport. It's talking about fucking Bill Walker a few years back.
I'm telling you, boy. I know who smokes weed. I can tell you off that. I can walk into somebody talk to them for 3 minutes and know if they do cocaine. And the weed thing is nothing to me.
That's a talent.
I can tell you what your vice is. But if I know you smoke Newport, I don't want you on my team. Cigarette smoke is 10 times worse than a weed smoker. Weed smoker gonna smoke 2 joints a day. Cigarette smoker gonna do 4-5 boxes. That damn Bill Walker, that boy was smoking halftime. He used to put a cigarette in his lip like a dip during the game. I'm like, man, you think tobacco that bad? I don't trust nobody smoking no ports, man. I don't know Cam. Ports or Camel? I can't have you on my team if you smoking ports or Camel.
Holy shit, man.
All right,
we gotta get him. Hold on, let's get a score prediction out of him.
Did he give us one? No, Orson. No. You're right.
Score prediction for Saturday.
UGA, UF?
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah, man, that run game out of UGA too good, man. Chubb rolling, Sony Michelle rolling. What's that, Easton? Easton doing good, man. Georgia got their bite, and they got a defense. Gators, what they averaging, I want to say 20. I think I saw 23.3 right now. They'll get 20 points. They caught 19-17 against LSU and Texas A&M, who are unranked. Georgia's coming in ranked. What are they now, third or fourth?
They're up there. They top five.
They top five, yeah. I say they'll maybe get to 20. I would say close to the high teens, that 17, 18 mark, and Georgia going to score close to 30. But I don't like to say it, but like you said, you got to give me an honest prediction, and I am some kind of journalistic integrity.
You're an expert.
Because I do have a radio show, yeah. Georgia's going to beat them pretty good. I've looked at it. I broke it down.
I'm just a fan, Channing, so I'm going to lie. I got to shoot these lies,
lie to yourself, bro. I used to do that when I said Treon Harris was good. That's when I was lying to myself. And then Will Greer takes his damn ass to West Virginia after doing steroids, and the motherfucker throws 5 touchdowns a game. What kind of bullshit is that?
Yeah, man. Preach to the choir, bro.
But Georgia, they too foul for him, man. I played under with it, Kirby Smart. He was with the Dolphins when Saban came down here. So Kirby was a do boy. Will Muschamp was a do boy for the Dolphins. And now they run the teams. I'm like, look at them damn do boys running over their faces. But Kirby got it together in Georgia, man. They're going to get the Gators held. I don't want to say it, but I got to be honest.
Well, that game will pretty, you know, it could put the nail in the coffin for Mac, especially if it's a blowout. So since in your mind, yeah, Mac's done, who you replacing him with, man? Who's up next for the Gators? Who you hiring?
Man, I don't know, man. I don't know what they can do. They can't, you know, go back around because you look at like a Frost, you know, the guys at these small schools.
I don't know if Frost is ready, man. I don't know if Frost is ready.
That's the thing. So which direction do you go? Do you try to steal, you know, somebody from another smaller school that's having success, or you go?
I don't know if the Gators can do that though. You know, well, it depends who it is, but like,
bro, I'll tell you one thing.
Don't get out of pocket. Don't get too. Yeah. What are you talking about?
The job open, nobody thought Jim McElwain would be the guy. Like when it opened, nobody was saying, you know what, McElwain's the guy that UF.
Different AD.
I know,
but
I know
when the Urban job opened, everybody knew was gonna get the big name. Then, I mean, it's just different times, bro. Florida got that bad. Urban was that guy.
What he did at Colorado State, he had Colorado State as the 11th ranked offense in the nation. So everybody thought, oh, Colorado State people, if he come to UF and get this talent, he gonna have them top 10. McElwain be over there confused as hell with his little fat gut. He don't know what's going on. And that's what they got to do, man. They got to go out there and get somebody that knows what's going on. And, man, listen, modernize the game, man. Go five wide. You had to have a run game, and you had to be able to go out there and sling that thing around. Frank's go out there looking a little light-skinned. I love light-skinned dude, but Frank is funny-looking light-skinned. He that crazy. He just got too much of the other side of light-skinned. And Jack Del Rio, frail, breaking his damn collarbone. I don't like any of them.
Y'all the same age. You know, y'all the same age,
Channing. I ain't heard y'all talk about them. I know y'all in South Florida. Matt Corral, that five-star guy that committed. He might be something. I watched one of his little highlight reels. He looked like something. Deal. But I'll be honest, Frank looked like something, too, when I was watching his little highlight reel. But, bro, I'm telling you, once UF gets a quarterback, we're going to be right back on top.
Well,
Spurrier was there, national championship. And then Warford goes, national championship. And then Tebow goes, two national championships. And then Chris Leak was there too, but now he messing with a little girl, so we ain't going to talk about him. But
hey, I want to ask you about Leak too.
Once you get a quarterback, you can win.
I want to ask you about Leak. How is that dynamic? I hear a lot of flack he get, he had a lot of racial stuff going on when he was at UF. How was the tension and how was that dynamic when he was playing?
It's racist stuff everywhere. It's criticism everywhere. He's what he looks like, light-skinned dude. He got the military haircut and green eyes. It kind of comes off as soft. He's a soft dude. You know what I'm saying? Mom and dad, grew up nice. Parents had a good job. He wasn't ready for criticism. And he was just a weirdo. Now, we knew it. Everybody, you talk to anybody, play with him. Shannon, you know, y'all know Shannon Smith. He'll tell you, Chris Lee was a damn weirdo. And that's what I didn't know he was. I didn't know he was this weird, but I knew he was a weirdo when I played with him. And I'm telling you, man, at UF, if anybody criticizes the fan base at UF, because I've heard criticism, you know, the Dolphins, you know, covering the Dolphins. I see every day what the Dolphin fans can do. And I saw, like, LSU, a lady came up to me at the movie and called me the N-word. Like, I've seen negativity. I've seen nasty throughout my entire career playing at collegiate and NFL level. The Gator fans aren't nasty. The Gator fans are some of the most loyal in the world because of that cockiness. Because it's not like I need to make you feel bad about yourself. It's kind of like the other side, like narcissistic. Like, we're the Gators. Like, why are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Because you're not a Gator, so why are you talking to me? And that's what I try to tell Gator fans. Don't stoop down to that LSU and that Florida State level of arguing with people. You are an aristocrat. Do you ever see a king fighting with a jester? You ever see a king fighting with a layman up there in the road? Mm-mm. No. The Gators are kings. We sit up in the throne. If y'all want to talk to us, ask for permission to talk to us. And
talk that shit.
And we allow you to speak to us.
Talk your shit, Chad.
Yeah, man, if you don't allow you to speak to us, bro, we don't need to talk to everybody. We just need to talk to important people, bro. So that's what Gator fans out there, don't stoop down with them. You are up on the hill. Look down on everybody else. Hell, pee if you want to. Pee down there on them. But don't go down there and argue with them. There's no reason to argue with trash. I don't argue with trash. Trash stay in the garbage.
Talk your shit, bro.
Hey, what you tell him? You don't argue with him. You tell him what? Palmetto and the Walmart.
Flamingo and Griffin Walmart. There's a gas station right there. Wherever. I've told about 100 people this. I've never had anybody come. I had some people act like they were going to come, and then they got on the road and thought about their ass. Let me go on back home. That's one thing no grown man want to do is just get an ass whooping. Who's going to drive 20 minutes to get an ass whooping? I'm just going to drive 20 minutes to get a sandwich. Now you're going to drive 20 minutes to get an ass whooping? Ass whooping, bro. I done told plenty of them. Flamingo and Grinch and Walmart, they'll never come.
Beautiful. All right, man. Well, thanks for coming on the show. I think there's a lot of ground we can cover. We'll have you on again at some point, but we definitely appreciate you coming on.
We got to have a crowd of cocktail soon, man.
Yeah, we will.
That's it, but I'm telling you, drink your Heineken halfway down, shot of Patron, shot of vodka, shot of Hennessy, and I'm telling you, bro, your swipe game will be off the chain. You might make a baby that night. You might make a baby that night. That baby make
I need one of those, Channing. I don't have any yet. I need one. I might do that this week.
If you can't get to the back door, just stay in the foyer. But stay up there in the foyer and do something good because, you know, the babies are made back there in the back.
Right, hey, Channing.
Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. I'll let y'all just.
Hey, you gotta have the big three roll up at the Dolphins Super Bowl watch party this year. Then I know y'all gonna do a big.
What happened to the Super Bowl watch party for the Dolphins?
Yeah, y'all gonna do a big at 560. You gotta have the big three roll up there too.
Okay, well, yeah, we could do something. I don't know. Maybe we can, you know, change it to just a Super Bowl party. I don't know if the Dolphins are going to make it, but if we're going to do something, let's do it right.
Kev's been drinking.
I told you earlier, bro. I talk a lot of shit about the Gators. I'm the only person I'm emotionally attached to. Everybody else I'm honest with. Yeah, the Dolphins might make the playoffs. They ain't no Super Bowl team, though.
There you go.
All right, good stuff, man. Thanks for coming on.
You good. Appreciate y'all. Anytime, man. Hit me up.
Well, all right, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
Yep. Yep.
Yo, if we have any more,
he shouldn't have said that shit.
Because if we get any more show beefs,
that's later.
If we get in any more show beefs, we should just send them down to Channing and be like, "Yo, you're gonna meet our HR department down at Flamingo.
A lawyer and the security team is down at Flamingo.
Be our HR department. You got an issue? Yeah, take it up with HR. Corner of Flamingo and what? And at the Walmart.
At the Walmart. Nobody driving 20 minutes to get an ass whooping.
I heard him tell that Willie Williams story on the fucking radio one time, dog, and I almost had a fucking stroke when he was telling that shit.
Nah, that was a fun-ass interview, dog. Why would you put
Willie Williams with Channing Crowder? Could you imagine how hard they were rolling in Gainesville that night?
Oh, God. Dog, we were talking about...
I pay to be just on one of their shoulders, dog, just watching this whole shit go down. I pay. You know how good, how entertaining that has to be?
Oh, man, that was a great interview. Where does that one rank in the top five? Probably somewhere in there. We'll have to debate that. But I got Orson Charles, former Georgia
tight end. I missed like two.
You think so?
Well, two for me. Behind what, Rad's first one? Rad's first one was gold, dog. Ratliff's first.
It was.
Ratliff's first fucking interview was
great. It was vivid. It was vivid as shit. But Channing shit, I don't know, dog. I don't know, bro. That shit.
Yeah, I'm going to have to digest this. Shit. He might be one. I don't know. I'm just going to have to. I'm going to have
might
to sleep.
Might be one.
Yeah, I'm going to have to sleep on it. All right, let's get Orson on. Yo, and the next guest on the show, I'm going to bring on, provide some balance out all these Gators. Right now on the podcast, we got former UGA Bulldog tight end with 94 career catches, 10 touchdowns. He went on to play 5 years in the NFL with Cincinnati, Detroit, Kansas City. We have former Plant High School star Orson Charles with us. Orson, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. And yourself?
Doing pretty good. We've been talking about this rivalry and this Georgia-Florida game. You've been a part of three of these matchups, man. When you think of this game, what comes to mind for you?
It definitely comes to mind that you got to bring your A game because you know everybody's watching. You know, definitely for Aaron and I and Ramik, you go back home, this is the game that everybody talked about because, you know, we're from Tampa. And we have essentially 2 weeks to prepare for them. So this is a week that you just leave it all on the field. And essentially this kind of dictates, you know, where they're going to go from there, whether they go to SEC championship or, you know, BCS bowl or the playoffs.
Sure.
But this one was by far the best game out of all 3 times I played them. This is the game that I circled. This is the game I look forward to playing. This is the game I tell everybody back home, hey, y'all need to make sure y'all watch this. They're not already watching.
Yeah. Speaking of back home, you grew up in Gator country. Tampa, Florida is pretty much Gator country. 2 hours from Gainesville, you know, right up I-75. So what was this game like from your perspective, like being a Florida boy playing for Georgia? How is that different?
So to me, it meant everything. Because when Aaron and I did take our visit to Florida, I guess Urban Meyer thought that we were going to commit. Aaron ended up
committing. You dropped our trophy, bro.
To Georgia. Hey, I'm sorry. That was a complete accident. But look.
You dropped our trophy, bro.
You spiked their trophy.
Yeah, you did.
I didn't spike it. I bumped into it by accident. There's a whole lot. There's a lot of speculation. Aaron and I went up there, and we both left. Aaron committed right then and there to Georgia, and then I waited until after the season. I committed, but respectfully, you know, I called Aaron and I was like, "Hey, thank you for everything. You know, thanks for showing me everything. But I think I'm gonna go with Georgia." He was like, "All right. Well, if you want to get beat every year, then go ahead." Ooh. So every time this game came up, you know, it meant something to me, and I wanted to prove him wrong. But unfortunately, I beat him when he wasn't there, so I was kind of mad about that.
Yeah, speaking of that, you know, this was really has been a streaky series. Like from 08 to 2010, Florida won 3 in a row. Then Georgia comes back with 3 in a row. Now we're riding a 3-game winning streak from Florida. You were on one of the teams that 2011 team broke the streak. You guys had lost in 08, 09, and 10 to Florida. And then in 2011, your last year at Georgia, you guys beat them 24-20. Georgia's kind of sitting – well, they are sitting in that same position again this year. How do you get over a 3-game winning streak, like a 3-game losing streak? What was the locker room like? Did you feel it was different that year that you guys beat them?
Yeah, but it was one of those things that we knew what we needed to do. We just need to relax and just play, regardless if – you know, we're not playing at Stanford Stadium, regardless if, you know, it's split down the middle, CBS 330 game. No, tune all that out. You know, we line up and we're playing football. They have the same helmet, shoulder pads, and knee pads as we do, and they're not better than us. So I think once we got over that hump and we had great leaders to lead us there, like Aaron, Jarvis, you know, Rambo, Sly, like we had all the boards to be like, hey, we can do this. And once everybody bought in, we broke that streak.
Right,
and I think that's the same thing that's going to apply this year. They got a good little run going, but they need to, you know, respect Florida because they're not just going to lay down.
Yeah, I think Georgia's got a little bit more than a good little run going. Like they look like this might be a special year for them. Are you being cautious just because it's the Florida game next and you don't want to jinx it, or you think this is just a good Georgia team? I mean, I think it has a chance to be a great one.
No, it definitely has a chance to be a great one, but being in the NFL and being in the SEC, you know, you have to respect every opponent because you can get beaten in any given Sunday or Saturday. So even though I know I'm going to beat that person across from me, I'm still going to give them that respect that they deserve. So I feel like essentially that's the same thing that we're going to do. Like we still respect them, but we're still going to beat them.
Right.
Hey, Orson, we spoke about your recruiting. What exactly happened on that trophy drop, man? For the average fan that don't know, didn't follow recruiting back then, some of you guys are kids, or some just wasn't into recruiting back then. Explain exactly what happened when the trophy dropped.
Okay, so I want to say Urban was at practice that was finishing up. The other coaches or staff was taking me around the building. And then we went to go eat while Urban was finishing up doing whatever he was doing. So we were sitting out at the deck that overlooks the stadium. And so essentially you're kind of looking down. And they had all the trophies. They had the Heisman Trophy there. They had a national championship trophy there. So mind you, this is my first time ever seeing any of this. I took a picture of the crystal ball, you know, and then in between there's a little gap, and then there was the Heisman Trophy. So I took a picture of the Heisman, and I kind of squatted down to take a picture of Tim Tebow's name, and the ball was on three little palms. And all you hear is the ball hit the table, and then it hit the floor, and it just shattered. So right then and there, you ever seen that commercial from Southwest, Everyone to Get Away? So that's how I felt. Like, nobody said nothing for a solid 10 minutes. Like, nobody knew what to do, how to respond. And mind you, in my mind, I'm like, oh, dang, I'm going to have to go here because I don't have the money to pay for this. But Urban said it's okay. You know, he had it insured. And right then and there, he shook my hand and said, hey, welcome to be a Gator. Jokingly, but you could tell he was serious. That's what happened.
Now, playing in that game, does it feel split even, or does it feel more of a Gator or a dog feel? How do you feel playing in that stadium?
I think they try to do a good job to make it split even, but essentially it's only a couple of miles away from Florida. But granted, I would like them to stop that and we play at Gainesville. I would love to play at Gainesville, upset them, or they come to us and we beat them. Like, I would love to play in the Swamp. That was one place that I always wanted to play, was in the Swamp against Florida. They do a great job trying to make it neutral. And it's always great to see that line that goes straight down the middle. It just gets me excited even just thinking and talking about it.
So what's it about this game that Georgia, even when you guys are the favorites and should beat us, we somehow pull this off? What do you think was the issue with Rick when you was there, that he couldn't get over that hump?
Man, so everybody wants to blame it on Rick. I don't think there was ever an issue. You might have a couple of players. Yeah, I wouldn't say that. Relax. You just might have a couple of people that just might blow assignments or just might not catch the ball when it's supposed to. But I don't think it had anything to do with Coach Rick, because leading up, like I said, we have 2 weeks to prepare for him. So leading up to it, we feel good, we feel rested, and then we got to give y'all props too. Y'all have 2 weeks to prepare for us too. So it's not going to be a cake and a walk, but I think, like I said earlier, we all have to just settle down and understand who we are and what we can what we can achieve.
So what ultimately decided, what made you decide on Georgia? What was the deciding factor?
It was multiple things. Surprisingly, Aaron didn't have a say in it. Like, Aaron, he committed before the season, like I said before, and you would think that he would try to convince me to go to Georgia, but no, he didn't. You know, he said it once. He was like, hey, I would love for you to come to Georgia, but at the end of the day, I want you to go where you want to go. So Aaron never had a say in where I was, a say in me going to Georgia. But every time I went to Georgia, I just always wanted to come back. Like, it was just something about Georgia. It was something about their coaching staff that was definitely down to earth, you know, heavenly Christian guys, family oriented, you know, was going to shoot you straight. Wasn't going to lie to you. They told me, hey, you know, this is what we expect. You know that if you come in, you're not going to start. You're going to have to compete for the job. And on top of that, you know, we would like for you to know what you want to major in so you can graduate. And then Coach Rick was a stand-up guy. You know, he cares about football, but his main concern is building you up as a man. He wants you to become a better man. And yes, we did a good majority of talking about football, but we talked about, you know, life after football, you know, how do I become a better man? How do I dig deeper in my faith and all that? And that's what won me over.
Gotcha. Good shit, man. Now, y'all supposed to win this game on Saturday, but I go into this game confident as shit regardless. It's just, we beat y'all, man. Since I've been born, we beat y'all. So I don't. We could be 0-5. I'm confident. How you feeling?
We definitely going to dub y'all. We actually have a person, D-Rob, on the team right now. I'm about to get some gear for him to wear Sunday after this game.
I'll flip that. He a Georgia boy. You a Florida boy. Y'all went the opposite ways, man.
I know, right?
All right, man. We're going to see you. Give me a score. What you got?
Oh, I like it. I like 21 to 10.
10? That's disrespectful.
I like 21.
They probably ain't going to score 10, bro.
Yeah, because we have 24 games right now.
Silk brought up Rick, man. So Rick's 13-4 at Miami, man, and Miami's won their last 11. Do you see – is Rick the type of guy that could bring Miami back to national prominence?
Yeah. Because of how – what Coach Rick represents, it's just hard not to follow him. I know since I got there, they kept trying to push him away, and the seniors on the team brought it together. It was like, hey, like, we need to be the one to fight for our coach. Like, I don't want to play for nobody but him. So after that class left, the next class did the same thing, the senior in that class. And he just brings it out of you. He brings that want to fight. Like, you want to fight for Coach Rick. And I think that's what they're doing now, and they're buying in. I think he does a great job of making people buy in. If you have a certain amount of people that's not going to buy in, your team is not going to be good. But if you have everybody that buys in, we're going to be good. Just like that 2012 season when we went to the SEC championship and kind of lost to Bama, you know, I felt that they bought in and believed in Coach Rick, and I think that's what Miami is doing now.
Talking with Orson Charles, former UGA tight end. Orson, on this show we talk a lot of recruiting. And coming out of high school, you were a four-star recruit. You were the number 14 ranked wide receiver in the country, and you were the 113th best player overall. So you were really highly ranked. I mean, if you're in the top 250, you're talking about the, you know, best 0.5% of all high school football players in the country, and you were ranked 113th. When did you settle in at tight end? When did you know that was going to be your position moving forward?
Well, a lot of people don't know, but I went to Riverview High School before I went to Plant, and that's mm-hmm. when I played tight end. And we ran this horrible offer called a wishbone. I was either going to block down, I was going to block out, run a drag, or split out, run a slant. So I knew when I got to Plant. Yeah, exactly. When I got to Plant, they wanted me to play receiver, so I was like, okay, well, this is going to get me better, but I know that I'm not going to be fast enough to play receiver at the next mm-hmm. level. Yes, I had got some offers to play receiver, but, you know, I was looking for the long term. So when I was going on these recruitments, I was like, hey, I really want to play tight end because I played it for 3 years at Riverview in the wishbone, and I believe that I can, you know, work on my technique a better and play it at the college level. So after Plant, I knew my receiver day was going to be limited. So I guess you can say after my high school days, I knew I was going to be a tight end.
But you were pretty good on the defensive side of the ball, too. I mean, you were a linebacker, pass rushing, defensive end. You made an impact. Why not defense? Why offense?
Because I just fell in love with offense. I don't have no definite answer. I actually did get an offer from Michigan to play DN, but I just fell in love with offense.
One of the guys that the debate still rages on, should he have played offense or should he have played defense? Wow, is James your Wilder. Former teammate, James Wilder Jr. James, everybody thought, you know, because of his size and his speed, everybody thought he could have played either, really. But a lot of people thought maybe he should have settled in at linebacker. He played running back at Florida State. He was productive. What do you think about James Wilder? Do you think he chose the right path?
To be honest, I think James is a tremendous athlete. If you ever just sit there and just watch him play, mm-hmm. even things that he's doing at Canadian, like I'm like, bro, he belongs to the NFL. But it's kind of hard to tell somebody not to look up to their dad and follow their dad's footsteps, because his dad played running back at the same height and build as him, and his dad had a successful career in the league. So it's kind of hard to tell James, hey, well, I think you should play linebacker, when your dad was successful out playing running back at the same height and speed you are. So at the end of the day, if James is happy, I'm all for it. I can't tell you if he should have played linebacker or not. I really can't.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it all matters if he's happy. If he's happy, I'm with it.
Of course.
He'd be a fire ass outside linebacker. He'd be getting some checks.
Yeah, he would. He would.
Like he can still, his frame can still, he can add way more size to that frame. He already looked like a monster. I just think he chose the wrong position, man. But I mean, it's all about being happy though. But that's what he wanted to play. If he's happy, it's good.
Yeah. And the thing is, you and I both know, if you got a position, you're not happy, you're not going to be successful. Yeah. So who's to say if he would have got to that next level, who's to say he would have retained the playbook, or if he would have just loved to throw that shoulder in? And we're like, we don't know. There's a whole bunch of variables that play into it.
And so, and at the end of the day, James Wilder is, what, 4 or 5 years removed from college, and he's still getting paid to play football. One way or another, his paycheck is still coming to play football.
Yeah, he's still getting paid.
You know, good for him. Glad he's following his dreams. He was always fun to watch in high school. Speaking of high school, Orson, you used to be my neighbor when you lived in high school. Like, you literally lived down the street from me. You remember
by the airport, Orson?
What apartment are you talking about? The one on De Leon?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I remember those over there by that Walgreens.
Remember I had that big dog?
I don't remember you, bro.
He had this old brown car, and Orson, like, knew me. We would bump into each other sometimes and say hi, but I was walking my dog, and you went to go get out of your car, and you looked at my dog, and you just shut your car door, and you're like...
Exactly. No, I'm not playing with that dog. That thing was too big.
Orson, you don't got to act like you remember that shit, bro.
No, I remember that. If you would have seen the dog, you would have remembered it, too.
Yeah, I had, like, a 125-pound Rottweiler. Anyway, here's a story.
Dog won more than you.
Yeah, probably damn near. So here's a pretty funny story. There was a coach that was recruiting you. He knew that I lived down the street from you, right? He calls me one afternoon in January, and he's like, Josh, I'm waiting at Plant High School for Orson Charles. Like, where is he? He's not here. I'm like, I don't know where he is. He's like, go see if he's at home. Go see. I'm like, I'm not going to see if he's at home. He's like, please, just go see if he's home. He's like, I'm sitting here. I'm in the coach's locker room. It smells awful in here, and Orson isn't. I'm just waiting. I'm like, all right, whatever. I'll go check. I open the door. I
swear. How much you charge?
I don't know if this. I open my door and I look down the street. Orson was like two houses down, and I see this white van. It must have just pulled up or something. It was there when I looked. I see a white van right out front of your house. As soon as I walk outside, these three UGA coaches get out of the van and go up to your front door. And I'm on the phone with, and he's like, you know. He starts freaking out. He's like, go do this, you know. And I'm like, what? No. He goes, go knock on his door. And I'm like, you're crazy. I'm not. I go, you're lost. Like, you're not getting him. UGA's in home right now. You're done.
So you work for FSU for real?
So
that's what it sounds like.
I mean, that was a crazy story for me. I couldn't imagine your recruitment. What was some of the crazier things that you saw or coaches did during your recruitment?
So I took Georgia, Florida, SC, Tennessee, Miami.
Who got the best hoes?
So SC, I didn't really go out because everybody kept saying that USC. No, they kept saying SC was in the hood. So I was like, I'm trying to live till I see 23 at least. So I didn't really go out in SC.
Not even on campus, though?
I did on campus. Everybody was riding bicycles. I ran into Matt Barkley. You know, we chopped it up. It was cool. But I got to say them Georgia peaches was pretty beautiful now.
That's the real reason. It wasn't Mark Rick. You was talking about Bible study and everything earlier. I'm here, man. Jesus, I feel you, bro. I would have committed too. I feel you.
All right, Orson. Where are you going to watch this game at?
So we have a half a day on Saturday. I don't know. I might watch it at Houston House, Justin House. I might watch it at Remeek or Conley House. I don't know. I'm going to watch it with some of the boys and root for the boys.
Okay, good. You got any Gators on your team?
He just told you that, bro.
D-Rob.
Oh, okay.
Number 14, the receiver.
What are y'all betting? What's the bet? Just a
shirt. I don't know yet.
What are we doing?
Yeah. Most likely it'll probably be a shirt bet and post it on the gram.
All right, man. Well, good luck. Hope you win that one.
I appreciate it.
Tell D Rod we need him on this show, man. Holla at Wilder too. We need these big three goats on this show, man. Hook us up.
All right. So whoever texts me, I'll text them James' number so you can reach out to James and I'll get D Rod number tomorrow.
That's what's up, man. Just hit me up. Appreciate you.
All right, appreciate it.
See ya.
All right.
Former Plant High School standout from the 813.
He cool for a mutt. Yeah. Dropped our fucking trophy and didn't commit. That's fucked up. I remember that shit like it was yesterday.
Yeah. It is fucked up.
I think we would offer Aaron Murray. We would have got both of them. I think Plant was sick of our shit with that whole thing. It is what it is.
All right, let's get Sherman. Let's do this gambling segment.
This nigga keep losing.
Sherm was 5-0 last week?
Yeah, shit.
We should fire Sherm now that he went 5-0.
Yeah, we didn't sign him up to do good shit. I just wanted him to fucking lose every week.
All right, let's get Sherm on. All right, it's
hey, welcome to the Sherm Pick Show. How you doing, Newberg? Good to talk to you today, man.
It's everybody's least favorite segment of the show.
Yeah, that's right.
We have our degenerate gambler on the line who finally hit on a couple picks. Sherm, welcome back to the show, bud. How you doing?
Doing great. I was wondering how you're doing.
You're about to get hung up on, but besides that, let's go over your picks from last week so we can get you in and get you out real quick. You hit on the under of Texas USC, which was 65. You won that one. You hit Georgia Tech -6.5. You hit Penn State -9.5. You hit Wisconsin -24. And you hit Memphis +3. You went 5 for 5.
Pause. Go ahead.
I don't know what that pause.
I don't either.
You said I hit everything.
Hey, but Sherm out here.
Sherm, 19-18 overall.
And I made a lesbian UFC. 500 threshold. 20-18.
I think we should fire you.
I don't know, man. I told you I'm just getting hot. The world's best. You know, what, 65%? That's what they consider themselves professionals.
Hey, Sherm, when we brought you on, we was hoping you stunk, though, and the shit is not working out. So we might have to let you go, bro.
We might have to get Bobby Budnick on here because he was awful.
How bad was he? Yeah, I didn't even get to hear him, and then I listened to it after. Yeah, he didn't do too well. It's different, though. It's a little bit different.
When you get on the show, it's kind of hard to make these picks, isn't it, Sherm? Like, you thought
the lights are on. Not everybody can shine. I was just in Canada, man. I posted my picks, man. You in Canada, you can bet, and they say weird shit like A and hoser and a boot, and I don't know what the hell they were talking about, but I went and put in a pick, and they were like, you can't sports gamble, but you can carry guns? I'm like, well, I guess. I don't know. It makes shit sense to me, but it is what it is.
Who we picking? Who we picking, Sherm, this week? Right. Who we picking?
All right. I'll save the best for last. I guess when you go to the well, you got to stay on it. I'm going to stay with Notre Dame this week. They're playing against the #6 run defense in the nation. That defensive line, I made fun of the gentleman y'all had on the show. He ended up being the shit. That's a real good defense at NC State. But I don't know. I think the Heisman talk's shifting to a little bit to running backs. Obviously, Barkley's in the league, but I like Adams from Notre Dame, man. 9.2 a carry, 96 yards. But here's the fun fact about NC State.
That motherfucker gonna have to stand on his head to get it as a running back the way Barkley playing.
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm just saying between him and Bryce Love, I mean, they got to be both top five.
That motherfucker gonna have to jump out the damn top of the stadium.
Notre Dame wins out. He's in the conversation. That's it. But hey, listen, but NC State, their quarterback, 248 attempts, no picks. So neither team's gonna turn it over. I'm going to say under 60 again. Same reason I had last week. I don't see any reason anybody scoring, you know, got a little bit lucky at the end there, but yeah, I think it's 60 right now. It could be 61, but under 60 official. Lay it for me. Notre Dame and the Wolfpack. Next, Kentucky is laying 5.5 against Tennessee. Tennessee's offense hasn't scored a touchdown in seven halves of football, and they're without Kelly. Here's a fun fact. I think Butch Jones is – I think he's out there. I think he has a chance to win out. I really, really do. Who's he got? LSU left after this
Must one? Must be two Butch Jones. There's two Butch Jones.
Who's he got left? Who can he not win
Butch
against?
Jones.
He can lose against everybody.
It's Butch Jones, bro.
It's Butch Jones.
It's Butch Jones.
Who? Who? Give me Tennessee in the 5.5. I don't think Kentucky can lay 5.5 to anybody worth a shit. Next, I got Stanford. Started 1-2. Now they're on top of the Pac-12 North. And I think they just curb stomped the real team in Oregon, 49-7. This opened pretty big. I think it was at like 24 or 25. It's down to Stanford's only laying 20. I don't know why. I can't figure out. I don't even know who the hell's coaching Oregon State. I was hoping it was McElwain, but it ain't.
So who's
coaching the Beaver? Pause that one. Anyway, Stanford minus 20. Stanford minus 20. And their running back is averaging 10 yards a carry. That's my other one, Bryce Love. Got a good one there, too. So where are we at?
Ain't no nigga in Oregon State winning no Heisman. He could average 30 yards a carry. Nobody went from the Oregon State winning shit, bro.
No, I was saying Bryce Love from Stanford. Last one, I'll make it quick. TCU, Iowa State. They put up 45 by themselves almost every week. Iowa State, every time they play someone with a pulse on offense, it goes. It's a really strange number, but for some reason it's 49 over under. I like the over in TCU and Iowa State.
Word?
Yep. That one's going to be easy. And last but not least, here we go. There's a big game in Jacksonville. Everybody going, you want to meet me? I have my big three roll-up shirt on. I had it on for a little bit for Texas A&M, but then, you know, I had to get some Aggie mud ducks. But anyway,
shirt off in the stand room.
Great time. What'd you say?
You were going around just letting your belly float?
Yeah, well, my belly's shrinking a little bit now. You better watch out now. I'm trying to tell you. But,
get slim on the ass, sir. Get slim on the ass.
Hey, listen, I'm trying to tell you. I'm doing push-ups like I was still in the box eating barbecue chicken. Anyway, that's a story I'll have to save for him one day. But anyway, the Bulldogs, I think, are one of the most overrated. I know they're undefeated. I get it. I honestly think if they play Miami right now, I think Miami could get them. I really, really do. I think they have a terrible quarterback. I don't believe in them. I don't believe in a lot of things that, you know, the media is hyping them up to be. The win against Notre Dame, who I am high on, obviously is pushing it up. I think the running backs, I don't think Kirby's smart enough to follow the, you know, the Ed O blueprint of running jet sweeps. They're not getting 6 yards of carry against Florida. It's a big rivalry game. I don't like to pick on my team, especially after this fucking show and all I do is get hell. But my will post my damn ticket. Fromm is not going to be throwing shit. I think they're going to sub him out at some point. And we held Texas A&M to 263. Anyways, talk right now shit. We're getting 14 points. 14 fucking points. The Gators are getting 14 points at Georgia. That lets you know where we are as a program. We're still not getting beat by 14 points. We may come out with a win. And either way, we win, people. That's all it is. So, yeah, recap.
There it is. There it is. Either way, we win.
I'll post my damn ticket. PayPal, always open. Venmo, you already know.
Talk your shit.
All right, so Sherm has Notre Dame, NC State. He's taken the under of 60. He's taken Tennessee plus 5.5. Stanford minus 20. TCU, Iowa State. He's taken the over
of 49.
And then you got UF plus 14.
Yep.
You got some winner, Sherm.
I think I do too. Hang up.
So, hey, we had a couple. what section are you sitting in? We got a couple people DMing us wanting to set up a fade for the game. What section will you be in? Fuck you, Sherm.
He's gotten you 2 weeks in a row on that.
Before you, like I said, it's just the wrong year for me to start a podcast.
Holy shit.
Now I'm out here taking L's to Sherm.
Oh,
he said he's 19 and make him 20 and 18 now because he got a W right there.
Yeah, he got you, bro. That was funny.
Y'all
want to
do some callers tonight or can we just end this?
Fuck callers. Yeah, I'm high, bro.
We do same energy Sunday. Okay.
So what you learn today, Bird?
I learned about the Crowder cocktail, and I'm gonna implement that into my game this weekend.
Okay, what you learned today, bro?
Well, Shane Crowder's the funniest guest we've ever had on, bro. I don't know if I learned that today, or I'm just saying that shit. He's the funniest guest. I think he's the funniest.
We've had Benji Brown on the show.
He's funnier than Benji, bro. Benji, my dude, but
no, Benji's
Channing's
funny.
Like
he's a
like,
different kind of funny. Like Channing's like a real life story funny, dog. No,
I don't think he was joking. That's the thing. He was just talking.
He wasn't joking. He was just like I listen to him on radio all the time. He like fishes and shit a lot, dog. Like I love to go fucking fishing and drinking with fucking Channing Crowder.
I don't know about drinking.
Oh, dog, he's 34 now, bro. He ain't drinking.
Yeah, he ain't
drinking all that shit. He's just drinking regular shit. Regular
he got a crock pot, bro. He got a family in a crock pot, bro.
I got to reevaluate this thing because I don't know where that goes in the top five. I might need to do like top five like entertaining interviews, top five informative interviews because that was damn entertaining. And it was informative, to be honest.
That may be top one entertaining, though.
Ah, damn. It's just hard. It's just hard to
believe. That's what she said.
You don't know where to rank them, like.
Yeah, but I learned that Channing Crowder listens to my shit and his on the way home from his shit. That's pretty dope. And I also learned that he tried to troll me, dog, about my fucking anniversary tweet. That's my anniversary tweet, bro. I just thought about that shit, bro.
In the words of the great Silk, we are out here.
We out here, bro.
We are out here.
So we're going to keep doing this shit next week? What y'all saying?
I don't know. Kev, you going to keep coming back? I really enjoyed having you on the show, Kev.
God damn. That bitch, he almost went like an hour and a half without sass. Look at him.
He had to end it. He couldn't help it.
He couldn't help it.
I'm glad the funniest shit today was Channing said that Jalen Ramsey loved his asses, bro. Funny
as fuck. Oh man, all right. We'll be back next week. Hopefully the Canes have a loss. All right, see y'all.
Yeah, right.
And we out here.
Yeah, right. We are out here, gentlemen.